Tonight's sharing really going to be about John 5. You turn to John 5, 96. And it the most of my life is you think about Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. There's an image of him bringing people together, and the Chosen's great. I'm glad my wife introduced me to it, because now I've got these. They painted a lot of good pictures, but one of them is Peter keeps trying to bring things together, and Peter will talk to Jesus Christ and be like, "Hey, boss, this isn't going to work." And he's the first to speak, and so Peter's like, "Hey, man, how are we going to get everybody together? At least in the Chosen. There's going to be a revolution. We're going to get rid of the Romans." And they had this idea of, and he's the one that's bringing everybody together. Not necessarily. They missed it. Because it said in Isaiah, he's going to be a what? A stumbling block of offense. Who here walks somewhere and you trip over something? Ouch! You're upset with it. Especially if you didn't put it there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put it there, you're like, too bad. I could have been angry or something. When you trip over something, you're tripping. Mm-hmm. That's to stumble. And Christ was to be a stumbling block. And if we read that before man's traditions and man's ideas, including mine, you'd have an idea. It'd make a lot more sense, especially in the Chosen. Because he keeps upsetting the wrong people. These are unnecessary fights. Come on. This is what we're supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to do. And I think it's part of our nature. And I think part of that is the nature that Yahweh put into us. What do we want? We want unity. And I think that is from Yahweh, that desire. But it's not going to happen in this earth. It will happen someplace else. And also, Yahweh programmed man. You don't have to tell a human being that premature death is wrong.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain to a child when you see a father of an animal eat its young. You ever seen a bird eat its own young? Or you see two eel chicks, and one kills the other one, pecks his eyes out, and you're like, how do we know that's wrong? Okay, he put stuff inside of us, programs. That we know that's not right. And what do we want? We want resolution. We want things that we... All humans, decent humans, want resolution. There's no death, no pain. Why? It's the programming. But the unity that we want is not going to be on this earth. And there could be some, but the one that we really want is going to be what? When? The adversary's gone!
Yeah.
He's gone! Finally! When's that? 1,000 years, man. That's a long time. And that we will get that. But the point of this is to focus on the rock of offense. Not just to keep achieve cornerstone. And the reason why I wanted to point this out is because you are called to be the hands and feet of Christ. There's times he's going to want you to offend people. I want you to go offend these people. That's not what you do in a church. Can you imagine if he told you to stand up in the middle of the church and say, "Repent! Half of you are going to be thrown in the lake of fire!" Holy cow, who is that person? And most people, including myself, would be very offended. But we'll come back to Isaiah chapter 8 when it comes to offended. And we will be offended. And Christ did offend people. And some of the people that were offended, they had good reasons to be offended because they were ignorant. And then they realize, when they find out what was happening, they're going to go, "Wait a minute. Wow, up is down, left is right." So we'll turn to John chapter 5. We're going to read 1 through 5. That's page 96. And Yehoshua, our Lord, in John chapter 5 reminds me of my father. My father has no problem picking a fight. He has no problem standing up and saying you're wrong. Veronica's really good at that too. She did that. She went to Hobby Lobby, and the guy sees the front of her car, says, "For Yahweh." "Wow, you must be a Christian." She goes, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian too." She goes, "But you're not a Democrat though, because Democrats can't be Christians." He's like, whoa. "Is it true?" "Yeah, you can't be breaking the Ten Commandments and say you're going to be going to the... What do you think you'd be doing on the New Earth?" "Whatever I want. Good luck." But what does she do? That's a rock of offense. And it's neat also in the shows when we use Veronica turn it on again, and here's Peter at the beginning. Peter's telling Yehoshua, you got to do this. You got to get a plan. You got to put somebody in charge here. And the Chosen, they do such a good job bringing these personalities to life. And Yehoshua went, your leadership's going to come in really handy, but not yet. Later on, he's like, okay, as long as somebody gets this stuff done. And here's Peter. What did Peter end up doing? He's going to be a rock of offense at the end of his teaching. You're like, wow, who could do that? He's a real thing. Somebody would read verse 1 through 15. This reminds me of Veronica and Chuck.
1 through 15 or 5?
Yeah, chapter 5, 1 through 15. And actually, we could... this could be the pool of Bethsaida. Yehoshua claims to be the Son of God. She read above it.
After these things was a feast of the Jews, and Yehoshua went up unto Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches, and these were lying up throng of them who were sick, blind, lame, withered. And there was a certain man there for 38 years had continued in his sickness. Yehoshua was seeing this when lying and taking note, that now a long time had he continued, said he unto him, desires thou to be made well? And the sick man answering him, sir, I have no man that as soon as the water hath been troubled might thrust me into the pool. But while I am coming, another before me goeth down.
We'll pause here just for a second. And the Chosen, and the teaching is not supposed to be on the Chosen, but the Chosen does this great. Because Simon the Zealot, this is his brother he's going to heal in the Chosen. Here's a zealot that's going to, Christ is blasphemous, but all of a sudden his brother gets healed. And he turns. So it's just a neat story. But at the beginning of this chapter, at what time of year is this happening? Feast of the Jews. There's a lot of people in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. And when is he going to choose a fight? Everybody's here? Good. Let's talk about politics. You know, we had a Christmas. No, no politics. And so what? Okay, now go back on and read.
8.
Yeah.
Yehoshua said unto him, rise, take up thy couch and be walking. And straightway the man was made well and took up his couch and began to walk. Now it was Sabbath on that day.
Do you think that man knew it was a Sabbath? Sabbath?
Yeah, sure.
Of course he did. What is he doing? He's breaking the Sabbath.
According to their interpretation.
And what do you do for people who break the Sabbath? You can what?
I don't know.
Well, we know that Moses had somebody stoned for picking up sticks. I'm not going to say that's what's happening here. If you first get healed, it's on a Sabbath. You might say, I'm going to walk tomorrow. How about I put that? How about I pick up that couch tomorrow? Not on a Sabbath. But Yehoshua is, in the eyes of the religious people, is going to break their Sabbath in public. And what else is he going to do? He's going to invite somebody else. What happens with a stumbling block? Especially when we got a stumbling block like King David or Peter or Yehoshua, is a stumbling block makes people stop and look, what the heck is going on here? And it also gives people a chance to be proud or humble. And when you trip over the Son of Yahweh and you turn around and you're going to curse at somebody and it's the Mashiach, what do some people do? They fall down on their hands. And they go, and what just happened there? Christ came to separate the sheep from the goats. And on the outside, you look at the synagogue, who are the goats? Not the Pharisees or Sadducees. Those are the best looking people. They're the most on the outside. But what we're going to find out about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were the goats. With a few exceptions, we got Nicodemus. I mean, who else? You got the guy who gave him his tomb, and 2, 3, maybe 5, 10. And what you're going to see is that this guy, later on, Christ is saying, sin no more to this guy. So what does this guy look like? He has some sort of disease or condition because of sin. What was it? I don't know. And we're going to find out that he was the sheep. And if Christ had not stumbled, maybe that man would have never become the sheep. Who is this guy? Maybe he was never going to choose. And Christ does that because when we stumble between a goat and a sheep, what happens? We separate. Sometimes we get offended with a scripture and somebody says something like, ah! Then later on we go back and research, or somebody else shows it to you and you're like, what is this? What just really offended me? How could this even be real? And then it gives somebody a chance to make themselves holy. Now they get to choose. Now I'm offended, but I find out it's him. Now we get to choose to be a Saul or a David. And it's a process for the rest of our life. And all of us, I will give this much, but I'm not giving this. I've given enough. And okay, you're choosing. But this man, we'll go ahead and read.
Let's see, 10, I think.
Yeah.
The Jews, therefore, were saying unto him who had been cured, it is Sabbath, and is not allowed for thee to take up thy couch. Who, however, answered them, he that made me well, he unto me said, take up thy couch.
How do you like that? Who is this guy? He's a beggar. What does he look like? How's he dressed? The Chosen shows this guy is a beggar. He's got long fingernails, hair, looks like somebody living on the street. And who is arguing with these Jews? This beggar. Look at this. And he doesn't just drop the couch, yes sir, and I'm going to go lay down until tomorrow. No. What does he do? He starts arguing, okay?
11. Whoever answered them, he that made me well, he unto me said, take up thy couch and be walking. They questioning him, who is the man that said unto thee, take up thy couch and be walking? But the healed one knew not who it was, for Yahushua had turned aside a multitude being in the place. After these things, Yahushua findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, see, thou hast become well. No more be committing sin, lest some worse thing do thee befall. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Yahushua who had made him well.
And I'm sorry, verse 16. And on this account were the Jews persecuting Yahushua. Did they see the healing?
Yeah.
Here's a healed man. They don't care because you have broken our rules. And what is this? It's a sheep and a goat. And here it is, a sheep and a goat. You can imagine the disciples going, I like Jonathan in The Chosen because he's got a really good sense of humor. He'd be like, hey, watch this, Peter. He's going to heal on the Sabbath again. Oh, there's 600 days. Why do you got to do this? But you do it. And here this is, a sheep and a goat. Turn to Isaiah chapter 8. And what's really neat is even when Yehoshua came to this man, unnamed man, who was healed, and who's going to be in the resurrection? At least from here, it looks like the beggar. And the beggar didn't back down to the Jews when they confronted him about breaking the Sabbath. He told them, the man that healed me, he told me to take up this couch. And I could see him getting fired up. And such authority you're speaking. But where did Yehoshua find him? He was in the temple. Isn't that neat? Where did he find him? He's in the temple. Yehoshua finds him in the temple, goes, hey man, don't sin anymore. The sinful man's going to be there. All these religious people are going to be gone. Isaiah chapter 8. Let me get there.
Verse?
I'll tell you in just a second. Let me get there first.
Now.
Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 13 of Isaiah, Ishayahu, Yahweh of hosts, him shall ye hallow, and let him be your
fear.
Fear your creator, not man. We will all have a decision. It could be over your spouse. I don't want to say no to her, she's mean, or I don't want to say no to him, he's a jerk. When it comes down to it, he's going to make it very simple. You fear Yahweh first. And golly, that means I'm going to lose a lot of friends. He says in Matthew 7:7, he'll give you what you need if you fear him first. You put him first. Seek ye first his rule. Obey him first. Fear him first, and he'll take care of all the rest. He's going to say, fear and let him inspire you awe. Awe means
even greater fear.
Even greater fear. Awesome. Boom. Let him inspire greater fear. So shall he become a hollowed asylum, but a stone to strike against and a rock to stumble over unto both houses of Israel. Talking about, so here's a stumbling block, and I believe that this is speaking of Yahweh and prophetically of his son, who's going to do the same thing, like father, like son, to separate people, to get people to trip. Look at that! Two people trip while they're walking. They both curse the ground. They look down at the ground. And one guy goes, can you believe this? A Samaritan put this thing down. He goes, but what did the Samaritan say? Oh, the Samaritan's right. You got a choice. Goat and sheep. In Luke chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. It's a little reference. In Luke chapter 12, verse 51, Christ said, I didn't come to bring unity. I came to divide. Sheep, goats. I'm coming again to separate. Why is he separating the sheep and the goats? These belong to my father. Get out of here, goats. Goats are cursing him. Good luck. Hope you're fireproof. And here this is. And that's our jobs too. And it's amazing what happens when one person stands up and speaks right. A lot of times there's people in your sphere of influence, the people that are there that are thinking the same thing, they're just not going to say anything. And sometimes they don't have backbone. Maybe they're scared to stand up. And that was, I forgot who it was, he says, a little bit of courage can give weak men backbones. One person stands up, boom. And all of a sudden another person stands up. And that's why the socialists and the Democrats, anybody who stands up, they assassinate. Because you can't give them courage. There's a war here. Because really what's happening, if you want to take it to a higher spec, the real war here is the angel of light and his goats and Yahweh's sheep. And we separate them. No, okay, here we go. And it should be our job to fear Yahweh. I didn't always even say his name. When I first learned his name offended me. What is this Yahweh? And then I wrestled with it because my dad changed the names of the songbooks because we used to think it was the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It turned out, no. Somebody erased the author of the book's name?
Yeah.
They got rid of his name? And I didn't even know it. I'm his son. I said, I'll do anything for you, but I don't even know your name. And then my dad became a rock of offense to me because he changed all the music books. And I'm supposed to be the one leading the song. And I start reading Yahweh, and I'm like, how far is this going to have to go? I mean, how far does it, but does my dad have to go to keep doing stuff like this? This is what my flesh is justifying. And do you know what Yahushua had said to me? Does my father's name offend you, Aaron? And it was just clear. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't offend me. Then why are you protesting? Like you got pornography. The name of your creator, who you say you adore, you'll do anything for, his name offends you? And what he did to me is he called me out. Who was it really offending? Adam and Eve, my flesh. This thing that tells me it's my God. And I think really that's the separation that can happen to us. Your flesh is your God, and you don't know you're bowing down to the adversary. I just do what my flesh says. That's right. No, your flesh is your God. And what Yahweh was doing is he was separating me. But I was really offended. Now we turn to 1 Corinthians. The first chapter, 1 Corinthians, and it says in Matthew chapter 25:32 that there's going to be a separation of the sheep and the goats. And that's not necessarily talking about the body of Christ right now, but it's the same concept. When we go to meet him, he goes, I don't know you. And my wife's a good one, she'll talk about going, people thinking they're saved. They don't know the scriptures and they're living in sin. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How many books of the Bible have you read this year? None? Oh, and you think you're saved. Do you even know where you're going? Yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. No, you don't know the book. That's not where you're going. How can this person make a commitment and a covenant for a whole other life? That's like somebody's going to go on a cruise in Europe. You go, where's your passport? I don't have a passport. You're not going. Oh, I am too going. I got tickets right here. You're not going without a passport. But my wife's really good at that, going, what do you guys, what she's actually good at, really good at doing is, these people have no reverence. They don't fear their God. He's a Santa Claus. He comes and hugs you, and he gives you things. And then if you're really good, he'll give you wishes and stuff. And there could be he could have some of those qualities. But he says, the blast of his nostrils blew out the Red Sea. And anger is his nose. You want to think about big nose is Mark Wahlberg. When he gets angry, his nose is huge. You can tell that guy is on fire. And Yahweh eventually gets hot. And this group's really good at fearing him. And we should be encouraging each other. Are you fearing him? It is good. It is very good to be intimate, because now we are part of the body of Christ. And I have the blood of Christ, his atoning blood. But it doesn't change the fact who you're talking to. It's like walking up to Joseph as he's sitting on the throne. Hey, what's up, Jojo? The king's not impressed. Joseph, and then Joseph goes, get up, come over here. And then he's the one that says, and that's what we should be doing, reminding people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There are contrarians. There are Christians that just want to pick fights. A contrarian is, no matter what you say, they're going to be contrary. And if you want to know if somebody's a contrarian, call them a contrarian. They'll go, ooh! They can't say anything. That's not true. But the thing is, with the exception of contrarians, and we do get to meet some Christians, all they do want to do is fight other Christians. They're not looking for the end result, trying to figure these things out. But we should be able to say, who have you offended lately by your stance? Well, those unbelievers. No, I'm talking about Christians. Because Christ had a reputation for offending who?
The Jews.
The Romans said, this guy's not done anything wrong, let him go. And they sent him to Herod, a wicked Jew. The wicked Jew is so evil, he's like, he didn't do anything. Get him out of here. I'm not killing this guy. And then the Jews are going to know what happened. And what was happening is they're separating. I really believe that the disciples, those people, had no idea how evil it was until you start hearing, crucify him. Torture him to death. And you got to see this black and white. And what was happening is, when you choose to be obedient and to be a rock of offense, and you got to be walking by the Spirit, don't just go starting fights.
Yeah.
It's the body of Christ. We're supposed to see each other superior. And even if we are going to trip somebody, I'm going to trip you because he told me, but it's going to be as a superior. You're my superior. You know what that would be? I'm so sorry. I am so sorry I was here. Yahweh told me to lay right here in the middle of the road, and you're looking down and going, Aaron, oh, I'm sorry. What are you doing down there? What is that? That is somebody who is seeing the other person's superior. What are you doing down there? Christ told me to lay in the middle of the road. You could have broke my neck. What are you doing there? And then, okay, then there's a good talk. Verse 23 through 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 23 to 28. Somebody read that for me.
Whereas we proclaim a Christ who hath been crucified, unto Jews indeed an occasion of stumbling, and unto Gentiles foolishness, but unto the called themselves, both Jews and Greek, Christ, Yahweh's power and Yahweh's wisdom. Because Yahweh's foolish thing is wiser than men, and Yahweh's weak things mightier than them. For be looking at the calling of you, brethren, that there were not many wise according to flesh, not many powerful, not many high-born. On the contrary, the foolish things of the world hath Yahweh chosen, that he might put to shame them who are wise. And the weak things of the world hath Yahweh chosen, that he might put to shame the things that are mighty, and the low-born things of the world, and the things that are despised hath Yahweh chosen, that the things that are not, that the things that are, he might bring to naught.
And so, and then it says in the verse 27, a point of the foolishness things, Yahweh choosing foolishness things, that he might put to shame the things that are mighty, the rulers that he's gonna put them to shame. We watched the Chronicles of Narnia and another one my wife showed you. How nice it is living with somebody who's always picking Christian things. That's fantastic. Thank you for doing that. in the Chronicles of Narnia, the brother, the little girl Lucy, sees Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, the lion. His name's Aslan. But nobody else sees him. Now they got to believe this kid, and nobody's believing the little girl. We can't wait for Christ, Aslan, and they don't believe the little girl saw him. Then later on in the movie, Aslan does show up, or sometime in the movie, the two young adults are arguing. Why couldn't he show himself to me? Right? Because there's a brother and a sister. They're preteens. You're 14. Why couldn't he show himself to me? And the girl hears that. And you know what she said? Maybe it's us that should be proving ourselves to him, not him proving himself to us. But it was just kind of like, wow. And here's man and Christians demanding proof. If you exist, do this. Not going to happen. He specifically chooses foolish things. Foolish. You want to be in my group? Go do something foolish. Go cut your foreskin. It talks about this. A circumcision is foolish. What is a circumcision to the unbeliever? Why are you cutting a part of your penis off? What does that got to do with that? And Yahweh's going to go, you don't do it, you're out. What is he looking for? He's looking for servants on the new earth. And if you don't obey him now with silly things, you're not going to obey him there. And in 1 Peter 5, it says, 1 Peter 5:5, in like manner, young men, submit yourself unto the elders, all, however, one unto another, gird on humility, because Yahweh against the haughty he arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift you up in due time. You have a desire to be exalted, all of us do. But Yahweh will be the one that exalts us. And he will put us in a position, as he did David. David, you're my king. He did with Saul too. But Saul, you gotta go. I'm not leaving. Okay. He made his choice. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And so I got the, rock of offense, stumbling and giving people a chance. And even as I'm talking about standing up in the middle of a church, only if Yahweh's led you to do it. If he hasn't led you to do it, then don't do it. And if he did lead you to do it, get confirmation. Get two other witnesses. They're going to get confirmation. You're going to go, hey, I got a radical thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Pray for me, and the God who lives inside is going to confirm it. And the two people confirm it, you might want to talk to them. Okay, you're supposed to do it, you do it. But I've never done that. I've never got up in the middle of a church. Acts chapter 2:23. The last time Peter was in Jerusalem, the Lord of glory was crucified. They tortured him to death. Who's next? All of his disciples, his followers, is what was going to happen. Yehoshua is with him. Or tells him and his disciples, including Mary and Yehoshua's brothers, go to Jerusalem for the Pentecost. I forgot, it's not Shabbat. I forgot the Hebrew name. The most dangerous place there is to be for a Christian. Why? Because the Jews. It's the goats. It's full of goats everywhere. And what happens is they start mocking speaking in tongues. That's people, Christians, calling Trump a dictator.
Yeah.
The man who's liberating all these things, so we're at church and there's a Mexican woman who's married with a nice guy. She said, can you believe what they're saying about our president? This blasphemy, this guy is liberating. Don't you know anything about Venezuela? And it came to me, Aaron, this is them saying you're drunk. What kind of person is drunk at 9 a.m. on a holy day?
Mm-hmm.
At a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
A vile person. So that what they're doing, the people that are speaking in tongues are calling the worst of the worst. Get used to it. But Peter is not deterred. He gets in their face, kind of like the man with the couch, gets up, and he starts speaking. And what does he say? I lost my place. We'll just read Acts 23. Is somebody going to read that?
2:23?
Yeah, 2:23.
The same by the marked out counsel and foreknowledge of Yahweh, given up to the hands of lawless men, suspended, you slew.
Who did he said? Who killed him? He says, we have been waiting for the Mashiach. 4,000 years as Jews, quote unquote Jews. Most of these guys aren't Jews. 4,000 years, and he finally came and you murdered him. Who is he saying this to? Is he saying it to the Romans? Romans could care less. Yeah, we killed somebody. What's the big deal? It's not the Samaritans, it's the Jews. Who would be the most offended is the fake Jews. He's going to be the goats. And what does he say in verse 38? And Peter said unto them, repent. He became a stone of offense. And what I believe in Peter's situation, who's also a Jew, you know what we're going to find out? Because Peter stood up and offended those Jews, what's going to happen? 3,000 Jews are going to become a part of the body of Christ. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee you Satan didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Going to go, he's dead. You guys got him? He's got you. Keep talking. And here's Peter talking, and demons are probably surrounding him. They probably got guards and all kinds of things like Jezebel. Kill him! And that's what's going on from the dark side. And Yahweh's going, bink! The stone of offense. 3,000 people go, it was us. We were the ones. Then what do? They go, what? What should we do? Think about that. What if in our own life, 3,000 people are waiting for us to stand up in a church or something public and do something? Do something you don't want to do, and their lives are on the line. I believe Peter was ready to die. I believe Peter goes, I will die for him. I'm not joking. Peter, he took out the sword, cut off Malchus's ears. He's ready to die. And a good thing about that is that if I do die, obeying. What's the next thing I'm going to see? I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up. And he's going to say, you missed it. But it was a good try. You didn't have to cut off his ear. But at least I'm going down that way. And I believe that's what David did. And I talked to my nephews going into the Marines. I go, the resurrection is your key. If you go to sleep, you're going to be right in front of Christ at your next moment, the next conscious moment. And that's how David fought. And they could fight fearless. And they could go on and go, if you kill me, kill me. But now if you're doing something wicked, you don't want to die. You don't want to die with a dirty rap sheet. And so, but I believe that's what Peter was doing. And then we'll fast forward to something that happened with me with a neat testimony. We were at Rock the Desert doing one of my dad's booths, a free booth, open dialogue. Here's the Hebrew, here's the Greek. And I get to meet all these different denominations I've never got to talk to before. And a lot of them, their shields were off so they could actually talk. What they believe. And all of a sudden, I got to have a Catholic was talking, and they said, well, you know what the Baptists believe? And he kind of joked around. And I go, we got one right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was uncomfortable. And then I got a Catholic and a Baptist to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic says, you believe anybody that drinks alcohol is going to burn in hell? And they went, that's right, you're going to burn in hell. We're Catholics, we drink. And then I got to say to the Baptist, I said, you know what you guys are really good at? And he said, no. I said, you guys are great at memorizing scriptures. The Catholic guy goes, they really memorize our scriptures. Baptists are great for it. Isn't that good? And the Catholic went, that's really good. And then the Baptist looks at the Catholic, what are you guys good at? I go, ever heard of a hospital? Schools? Pretty noble, right? And yeah, Catholics are good at that too. It doesn't say what their inconsistencies or their rebellions are okay, but we're crossing the thing. And during a crossing over, talking, to open the debate, we should. If anybody says anything, you just say chapter and verse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if it really offends you, I was at the gym yesterday. A guy got really offended. Not with me, with somebody else. And it should have been tomorrow. Why don't you, me, and that other guy have a talk after you cool off? But let's just go find out what exactly happened. And when somebody shows something, and so here's what's happening there. There's a Messianic Jew. He overhears me saying Yahweh, 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 and all this stuff. When almost everybody else at the festival, their whole Bible is the book of John. John, 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 John. They don't know anything. And he's hearing about Joseph, and here's this, these other things. He comes over, and he's a really neat guy. He actually taught me a lot of things. My first day, I go, so you're a Messianic Jew? Yeah, I lived in Israel. I taught this. I taught Hebrew. I taught this, and he has his long beard. And I go, when it says, put your hand under my thigh. What does that mean? He goes, well, to the Jews, it could be the waist. I said, could it be testicles? He goes, it could be. And they started saying, I heard that. I don't know if it's true. And I started asking other Jewish things. And all of a sudden, he was like, yeah. And then he showed me some scriptures I never saw before. I was like, wow. So there's an open dialogue. And then somebody else comes up and they said, you said that Jesus has a God and his God's name is Yahweh. And yeah, and then the kid turns to the Jewish guy, a Messianic Jew, is a Christian, kind of returning back to the law. They're going back to the Galatians. They're going to become a Jew to not offend Jews. But they're still Christians, so it's kind of... But the kid goes to the Jewish guy, is this true? This small bodybuilder says there's a name Yahweh. Messianic guy, you know what he says? No. You don't ever say the name. Ever. Ever, ever say the name. And then he says to the young guy, and I didn't know these things as I was saying. And he goes, the Jews never spoke the name. They would say the name Hashem. Or they'll say Adonai, but you never ever say the name. And he went into a 15 minutes discourse. Never say the name. Never say the name. And he got done. And I'm like, oh, he taught me some other things. And I said, hey, chapter and verse. Yannicka. Where does it say you never say his name? And he turned and he went, I go, can you give me one verse that you're not supposed to say his name? And he couldn't find it. And I go, you can't give me one verse? And I said, what other name are we forbidden to speak? David? Hezekiah? Jehoshua? Jesus? Just that one name. Is that interesting? And he's getting quiet. Some younger people started coming up to me because they hear this dialogue. And I don't know these things. But as I'm speaking, things are starting to come. I go, you can't show me one scripture. You're not supposed to say the author's name. And then I go to the computer and I said, the author wrote his name 6,800 times. Did you know that? And he had an idea. And then I went to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Take this word, put it in your mouth, and speak it day and night. And he says, yeah. And this guy is not being, he's not wrestling with me. And speak it day and night. And he goes, yeah. I go, Joshua was supposed to take the words of Moses and speak them night and day. He goes, what are you saying? Joshua was commanded to say Moses' name. I go to the computer. How many times did Moses say Yahweh's name? 1,300 times. I said, Joshua was... 1,300 times Joshua was supposed to say just by going through the books of Moses. And then I said, who else was supposed to say his name? Then we went to Genesis 3. I am that I am. All, that's where religion stops. They put a stumbling block. Don't keep reading. You keep reading. He said, I am Yahweh, the God of your fathers. Go tell Israel, Yahweh's here. And he looks at this, and all of a sudden, his face starts getting red. He's changing. He's getting really, really uncomfortable. And Yahweh is making me a rock of offense. And he says, if this is true, then why did Jesus Christ not say Yahweh's name in Luke? I go, okay. What are you talking about? He goes, because if you go to the book of Luke, Jesus Christ, I think he said Luke, he's going to read the scroll of Isaiah. And if you look up the scroll of Isaiah, it's going to say Kurios. And we go there, we see Kurios there. And I go, well, that's the Greek. Okay. And we said, if a Mexican becomes a United States citizen, does it change George Washington's name to Jorge? It's George Washington. His name is George, it's not Jorge. So we started talking. I'm going to go, the Greek, Jesus Christ is not going to not say his father's name because he doesn't want to offend the Jews. And this whole thing starts up. And discussing, of course Christ would have said his name. And he went, if you say that name, do you know what the Jews will do to you? And everybody looks at him and goes, they'll stone you. You know what we did? We kept reading. And guess what the Jews did when Christ stood up and read the book of Isaiah? They tried to kill him. And then the rest of it, this one guy goes, how much power is in this name? And this one guy named, this is 15 years ago, he said, me and my friend, this was later on, he goes, we just healed somebody and exorcised a demon and we didn't even know his name. Why doesn't Satan want us to know his name? How much more power is when you know his name? And these guys got on fire. But the point is, you turn to Galatians chapter 2. So with this guy, his problem was what? The Messianic. He did not want to offend Yahweh. No, he won't even say Yahweh's name. He did not want to offend the Jews. Isaiah said, fear Yahweh, your maker, not man. And who knows whatever happened to this guy?
Galatians
chapter 2. And we should be ready to stand up like a stumbling block. Hey, if you want a stumbling block, I'll be the guy. I'll go do it. Okay, good. Thank you for volunteering. And Peter did it on the day of Acts. And at the rock, the desert, this messianic, now he had a choice. He knew what it was. And maybe he never saw it explained that way. Yahweh's name's everywhere. Why can't I say his name? Now he has a choice. What are you going to do? I hope he changed. Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14. Somebody read that.
But when Cephas came unto Antioch, to the face, even him I resisted, because he stood condemned. For before that certain came from James, with them in the nations used he to eat, whereas when they came, he used to withdraw and keep himself separate, fearing them of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also used hypocrisy with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not walking with straightforwardness as regarding the truth of the glad message, I said unto Cephas before all, if thou, although a Jew, like them of the nations and not like the Jews, doth live, how dost thou compel them of the nations to live like Jews?
And so then here's another stone of offense. This is Peter. Who corrects Peter? He walked on water. The gate, beautiful, rise up and walk. His shadow has healed people. Jesus Christ calls Peter, James, and John, and who's taking off? Peter! And here's Peter, and the importance of bringing that up now is going to prepare us. If Peter cowered because of the Jews there, we should be ready too. And actually, we should be saying, Father, when I am being like Peter, send a Paul to me. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be offending you, especially when I'm saying I'm not offending you. But here's the Apostle Paul, who is a perfect rock of offense, the Apostle Peter. So we are called to be stumbling blocks. And it is through the calling and this separating. And what does holy mean?
Separation.
Kodesh means to separate. Make yourself holy. 1 Peter 1:5. I think it's 1:15, excuse me. I am holy, therefore you should be holy. Separate yourself. Why is that so important? Because when you guys get up in the morning, you exercise, you do your routines, and you start confessing your scriptures and speaking in tongues and reading, you're separating yourself. And I believe that what we should be practicing also is a rock of offense to help separate others. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us stay humble so you don't have to humble us. We thank you for putting people in our life. I ask you personally, this is from my heart, correct me and please be gentle. Thank you for being patient with all the corrections that I need. We thank you for these words. The fear of man is the snare of 90% of men. Why fear somebody that can only take away your life? Know you not that there will be another life? Don't you know there'll be a hereafter? Even the unbeliever knows there'll be something after this. Each day, focus on the hereafter and focus on going before my son and that trial before fire. And as you focus on this, it will transform you. This fire of meditation, of focusing on your life's work going through a fire will transform you. So no longer will you be complaining, I'm tired of giving up, I'm so tired of giving up, I'm not changing anymore. You will transform into, I got to help other people get ready too. Amen.
Amen.